Namandavutu 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 namandavutu.
Begin this morning by reading a passage from the Tanisho. The Tanisho is a record of the teachings that Shinran Shonin would give when people came to ask him questions. Tanisho をいただきます。Please join me in Gassho. Gassho をお願いします。If, simply abandoning self-power, we quickly attain enlightenment in the Pure Land, we will be able to save, by means of transcendent powers, first those with whom we have close karmic relations, whatever karmic suffering they may have sunk to in the six realms through the four modes of birth. 自力に捉えた心を捨てて、速やかに浄土に往生して悟りを開いたなら、迷いの世界にさまざまな生を受け、どのような苦しみの中にあろうとも、自由自在で不思議な働きにより、何よりもまず縁のある人々を救うことができるのです。ですと、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。Morning, everyone. 皆さん、おはようございます。Well, it's been one full year of Dharma School, and I welcome you all. Thank you all for joining us as we observe the end of this Dharma School year. We have a few graduates that we're observing here in our Dharma School program today, and I think many of you have also maybe had a graduation ceremony. Has anybody had a graduation ceremony or have a graduation ceremony coming up in the next few days? Okay, I see a few, maybe a few, maybe some, I see one preschool graduate. I see some, maybe some middle school graduates going off to high school, or some high school graduates going off to college. And so we have these graduation ceremonies that mark the end of one school, and in a sense, the end of one life, life in preschool, or life in elementary school, life in middle school, and then we're preparing to, in the fall, we'll start a new experience, whether that's in elementary school, or high school, or off to college. So it will be many different changes, and some of those changes may take place over the summer. Whether even if you're not graduating, you've probably finished one grade and going on to the next, starting a new grade. You'll have new teachers and new friends and new people you'll be with. And so in many ways, you'll be a different person. You'll be a different person. Maybe you'll be a little bit bigger. Maybe you'll go to school with some new clothes. Or, you know, maybe you'll have some new interest. Does anyone have any special plans for the summer? Any summer plans? Anybody going on a trip somewhere over the summer? Yeah, some people are going trips. Anyone going to camp? Anyone going to some camps over the summer? Right? So you'll go and maybe you'll make some new friends while you're there. And you might then start, when you start school in the fall, you'll think back to that person you were, you know, now in the spring and think, wow, that's a different person. It's a different person. So we all have some experiences that change our lives and make us different people. So today, as we think about this past year and all the learning we've done, I'd like to go back to one of the wonderful stories that we've explored this year and talk about how the Buddha changed when he studied with different teachers. So we all remember, we'll just refresh our memories a little bit. What was the Buddha, what kind of family was he born into? What did his parents do? Does anyone remember? Do you remember, Finley? What was that?
Rich
and royal, that's right. That's right, he was a prince. The Buddha was born into a princely family, and so when he was young, he got to enjoy all kinds of good things. Everything that he wanted, he got. But do you remember, did that make him happy?
Yes.
Getting everything he wanted.
Yes.
It made him happy for a little while, it's true. But then what did he do eventually? What did he do? Did he stay in the palace? No, he didn't. He went out. He went out and he studied with some different teachers. He went out and he left, and he studied with particularly two very wonderful teachers. One was named Alara Kalama. So he studied with a teacher named Alara Kalama, and he learned everything, everything that that teacher had to teach. In fact, that teacher said, "You know what? I'm gonna take a little break. You teach from now on, because you figured it all out." And so the Buddha stayed there and he said, "You know, I need to go somewhere else and find a different teacher." So then he graduated from that school and he went to a different school. And this time he went to a school that was run by a teacher named Udaka Ramaputta. And so when he was there with Udaka Ramaputta, he studied very hard and he learned everything that that teacher had to teach. And that teacher also said, "You know what? I'm going to let you teach from now on because you figured it all out." And then the Buddha, he stayed there for a little while, but he said, "You know, I think I need to go off and study on my own for a while." So he graduated from that school, and he went off, and he studied on his own for a while. And he had a group of five people who went with him, and they worked very, very hard. They worked so hard, in fact, that they stopped eating regular food. They started eating little and little and little bit, less and less, until by the end they were just eating one grain of rice every day. One grain of rice. Do you think that's enough food?
No.
No, it's not really enough food. So when you don't have enough food, how do you feel?
Hungry.
Hungry. That's right. You feel hungry. And when you're hungry, what else? How else do you feel?
Starving.
Starving? Yes. Do you have enough energy?
Really
no, you don't. You don't have enough energy to play and to learn, right? You're too tired out. And you can also get sick if you don't have enough food. So the Buddha, he just plopped down on the ground. He was so tired at one point. He just fell down on the ground and he was lying there and he didn't even have enough energy to get up. He didn't have enough energy to get up and keep walking. And at that time, there was a young woman who happened to be traveling through the forest. Do you remember this young woman? Yeah, do you remember what she was carrying? Do you remember, Enzo?
No.
She had some milk. That's right. Her name was Sujata. And so as she was traveling through this forest and she had some milk and she saw this person who was obviously starving, he was just skin and bone. So if you were walking through the forest with some milk and you saw someone who was obviously starving, what would you do? Give him some milk, exactly. And that's exactly what Sujata did. She shared some of her milk with the Buddha. And as he drank that milk, then he got some energy. He got some energy and he realized something very important. He realized that there's a difference between what we want and what we need. So when he was living in the palace, he got everything that he wanted. And did that make him happy?
No,
when you get everything you want, it won't make you happy. So the Buddha realized that, well, I can't just chase after what I want, but I need to recognize what I need. So we don't need to chase after what we want, but we also need to know what we need and to let ourselves have those things that we need. And so the Buddha, he understood that. And then he said, well, I'm going to sit under this shady tree because I need some shade. I need some shade to protect me from the sun so that I don't get a sunburn, I don't get heat stroke. So do you remember the name of that tree where the Buddha sat? Does anyone know? Do you know, Finley? The Bodhi tree, that's right. So he sat underneath that Bodhi tree and he made himself a promise. He said, I'm going to stay right here until I become enlightened, until I solve all of the problems that I have in my heart and my mind. And so he sat there, and every day Sujata would come and bring him some milk. There was another nice man who came by and brought him a little cushion of grass to sit on. So he sat there, and he realized this is the way to become enlightened. Not to chase after everything I want, but also to recognize what I need. So there's a special name for this way of living. It's called the middle path. The middle path. The middle path between chasing after what we want, but also running from what we need. So there's a middle path. So recognizing what we need, but also not chasing after just the things that we want. And so the Buddha, Then he sat and he stayed in that middle path, and that led him to become enlightened. He understood that the problems in my life come from me being attached. I need to have what I want in the way I want it. And that causes lots of problems. Another word for that is being selfish. The Buddha said, if I'm less selfish, then I'll have less problems and I'll cause less problems for others. So when he realized this, he said, oh, this is wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so relieved. Maybe I'll just sit here, because this teaching is very, very hard for people to do this teaching, to understand this. So I think I'll just stay here and be comfortable. And at that time, it said that Brahma was a very special, special person. He was a deva. He lived up in the heavens, and he realized this, and he said, oh no, oh no. Finally, someone's figured this out, and he's not even going to teach it. So Brahma went down, and he said to the Buddha, please teach this. The Buddha said, you know what? I don't think people are really interested in this teaching. People like to chase after what's fun. People don't want to hear it. And Brahma said, no, there are a few people who do want to hear it. People who are looking for this teaching, and they're almost there, they just need a little bit of help. And you can be that helper. So why don't you go out and teach this teaching? So after hearing this, then the Buddha said, okay, okay, I'll go out and teach. But who should I teach? Who should I teach first? So he thought about all the people he knew. Who could benefit from this teaching? You know who the first person that popped into his head? It was this Alara Kalama. His first teacher said, I'll go. He taught me so many things, so I'll go share this teaching with him. And just as he set out to go and find Alara Kalama, he found out, he met someone on the street, and he said, do you know where Alara Kalama is? And that person said, you know what, I'm sorry, but Alara Kalama, he passed away last week. He died. The Buddha said, oh no, oh no. Now he missed the opportunity to hear this teaching. Then I'll go to my second good teacher. My second good teacher was Uddaka Ramaputta. I'll go teach him this teaching. So he went a little further on, and he got very close to where Uddaka Ramaputta used to live. And he said, I'm looking for Uddaka Ramaputta. Do you know where he is? He said, you know what? I'm very sorry. He just died today. He just died. He said, oh no, he missed out on this teaching too. All these people who I thought would just be ready to hear this, and now they missed their chance. He said, who can I teach? Then he thought, well, I had those five companions, my crew, my buddies, those five guys who were with me. We were doing those very difficult practices. Those guys, I bet they're still only eating one grain of rice a day. I better go find them and share this teaching with them. And so he finally was able to track them down. He had heard they were in a place called Deer Park. So he went to the Deer Park, and as they were coming up, they saw him. And they say, look at him. Look at that guy. I can tell he's been eating. Yeah, he's wimped out. He's wimped out. He's not tough like us. We're the tough ones who only eat one grain of rice a day. But I hear he's been drinking milk. Yeah, he's not as tough as us. He doesn't have anything to teach us. He said, okay, come, let's get together. They all got together. They did a huddle. And they said, okay, what are we going to do when he comes? They said, let's just ignore him. Let's just ignore him. Let's pretend like we don't even recognize him. But we'll make a little spot for him so he can sit with us. I always think of this as being like a middle school lunch table, where they're like, okay, well, you know, you can sit with us, but we're not going to talk to you, right? They're being a little bit too cool, right? So they thought they were too cool for the Buddha. Too cool for the Buddha. But when the Buddha came up, you know, they saw there's something different about him. Something's changed. He's not that person that he used to be. So they said, well, maybe we should talk to him. And they had this deal. Remember the deal they made? They're not even going to talk to him. Well, when he walked up, they couldn't help it. They said, hey, Sid. Hey, Sid. Something's different, because his name was Siddhartha. They said, hey, friend. They welcomed him like a friend. Say, hey, old buddy, how's it going? But he said, no, no, you can't greet me like that anymore. You can't call me old buddy. You can't call me Sid. Because now I am the Tathagata. The Tathagata. I've realized something very special. Realized a very special teaching. And I'm here to share this teaching with you. But I'm not that same person you used to know. I've realized something wonderful. It's changed my life. And I'm here to share it with you because it will change your life too. And they said, how could this be? How could this be? You're eating, you're living this luxurious life. How could you have anything to teach us? And the Buddha said, no. I'm not living a luxurious life. But I have something very special to teach you. I've come to share this teaching with you. They said, how could this be? How could this be? 3 times they questioned him. And finally he said, have I ever talked to you like this before? And they said, no, you're very different than the way you used to be. He said, so hear me out. He said, okay, well listen. And he began to teach them. He taught them, he began with this very simple teaching. What do you think he taught them? What was the thing that he learned that helped him to become enlightened?
Sit under a tree.
Sit under a tree. That's right. Sit under a tree. Because when you sit under a tree, you're enjoying the shade. You're giving yourself the thing that you need. But you're not sitting in the palace where people are always bringing you whatever you want to eat. So that middle way, he began by teaching them the middle way. This is our way of living, recognizing what you need, but not just chasing after every little thing that you want. So the Buddha taught this teaching. And think about, who did he go to teach this teaching? He didn't just begin with random people on the street. He began with his teachers. He began with his close friends. And then after that, he gradually traveled back and he brought that teaching to his family, to his wife, to his son, and to his parents. So this is the way that the Buddha's teaching works. Shinran says that when we realize, when we attain enlightenment, we're able to save and benefit first the people that we have close connections with. So when you hear this teaching of the Buddha, your life changes. It's a life-changing teaching. You become someone different. You graduate from the life of selfishness and you move on to the life of kindness. And the first people that benefit are the people you're closest to. Your parents, your friends, your brothers and sisters, the people you see every day are the first people who benefit when you really begin to live this teaching of the Buddha, when you really begin to live the middle way. So Shinran Shonin says, when we live in the Nembutsu, we receive all these benefits of the Buddha's teaching. And the first people to benefit are our family, the people we're closest to. So you'll go off this summer. You'll all have a wonderful time. We'll see you here every Sunday, I'm sure, all summer long. And then when you come back in the fall, maybe you'll be a different person, but we're coming back together to our Dharma family where we can benefit each other by hearing this teaching all together and living together in this with this wise guidance of the Buddha. この仏様の御教えというのは中道中の道と言いますね。中の道は二つの極端的なことに行かない。一つは私が欲しいものばかりを求めて、それが幸せになれない道。または自分の必要とされることを無視にして自分の必要なことを頑張りすぎ、無視にして、そしてそれも幸せにならない。本当に幸せになる道はこの中を通って、必要なことを認めて、欲しいだけのものに迷わせないように、正しいことから目を離さないというのは、悟りの幸せにいただくこと。それはお念仏の中に働きによって、阿弥陀様にその幸せの悟りに開くところに導かれます。そしてその仏様の悟りを開くと、一番初めて、救う人、助かる人は自分の最もご縁の深い、最も短いのご家族、お友達。自分が幸せになるときは家族と友達がそれと共に幸せになれるというのはこの仏法の道、お念仏の道でございます。 診断長人はこういう皆様を幸せにしようという道は、まずお念仏を聞いて浄土に往生して悟りを開くという道でございます。 So 親鸞聖人 teaches us that our way to bring happiness to everyone throughout the world is to hear the 念仏, to live these teachings of the Buddha, to realize birth in the Pure Land of Amida Buddha, and then to return to help everybody who we're close to go to this world of enlightenment ourselves, and then to benefit all those who we have a close connection with. So I thank you all for your hard work this year as Dharma School students and teachers and all those who've joined us to support ourselves. Our services will be continuing almost every day this summer, so we look forward to seeing you again next week. して、まあ、お参りがずっと夏に続くので、また来週にお会いしましょう。Please join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。
南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏